Welcome back to Proclaiming the One. This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Pastor Christopher Morundi, Vicar Lawson Short. We are coming to you from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, over KNNALP 95.7 on your radio dial. We'd love to have you listen to us. If you're outside of the Lincoln listening area, you can always pick us up on the internet, www.thecross957.org. We are live with our worship services at 8 and 10:30 on Sunday mornings or at 6:30 on Wednesday evenings. Past programs of Proclaiming the One are on our website as well. You can pick up bits and pieces of what you may have missed. We appreciate your feedback and love to have you listen. So thanks for tuning in today. We're going to, in our final segment here, we're going to look at the Old Testament reading for Septuagesima Sunday, Exodus 17, 1 to 7. Vicar, take it away.
All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there is no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?"
Okay, we can see some definite connections here between the Old Testament reading and our gospel parable from Matthew 20. The congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages. So they are moving, and they're moving on right here.
Yep.
And in Exodus 17, we are between the early chapters of Exodus and Exodus 20. Mm-hmm. So where are we location-wise in the Exodus, Pastor?
We are on the Sinai Peninsula. We're moving from the Red Sea to Mount Sinai. I do want to clear up, everyone here is the wilderness of Sin, and they think of something very sinister, but it doesn't have anything to do with our English word, sin. So it's just a geographical name. So they're on their way from that great salvation event, which was just literally two chapters before, and they're headed towards Mount Sinai.
Okay, so we're on the move. We're going to Mount Sinai. God has promised to meet his people there, and they're looking forward to this great encounter with God, and you can't believe that they've just recently witnessed the mighty hand of God, the 10 plagues, deliverance through the Red Sea water, Pharaoh and the horses and the chariots floating on top of the water, stone cold dead. And what do the people do, Vicar?
They quarrel and grumble.
They quarrel and grumble. It's hot out here, and I'm thirsty, and are we there yet? So we have quarreling and grumbling, and who is this quarreling and grumbling directed against, Pastor?
Well, it's directed against Moses, and then Moses indicates to them, makes it quite clear, you aren't grumbling against me, people. You are grumbling against the one who's leading. It's so easy to, you know, either kill the messenger or to put the blame on the one who is the servant of the master rather than the master himself, who Moses serves. Because Moses is the one they see, and so he's the one they blame. And of course, that wouldn't happen today, would it?
No, nobody ever blames the pastor or the spokesman of God, like the teacher, the Sunday school teacher, when there's a problem at church. Nobody, well, we won't go there, but of course that happens. That's sinful human nature. We all do it. We want to blame others rather than looking at ourselves. And also, when we blame others, we fail to see how we blame God when we do that. Now, we have a problem with Moses here as well. And Moses, he's got kind of a thin skin.
Yes, he does, yeah.
So when the people come to Moses, Moses is like, it's not me, it's not me. You know, blame God, blame God. And then we see the marvelous miracle here that happens. And then we see a little bit later on that Moses is like, ha-ha, it is me, it is me. Look what I can do with this staff. Yep. Look what I can do. Yep. And this eventually leads Moses into the sin that will keep him from going into the promised land. So this is not leaders are holy and pious and perfect, and the people are not. This is a common temptation that is there for all people who are drawing a breath, because we are all sinners and we are all tempted into this kind of whining and grumbling and arguing back and forth. So when the people of God, who have just witnessed all these things, all these wonderful miracles and power displays of God, when the people of God whine and complain about their thirst, what are they really saying to God? Vicar, you want to tackle that?
he's done all these miraculous signs and wonders that the rest of the Old Testament peoples will extol and sing about for years to come, and they don't think God can provide them with water.
Okay.
It's pretty simple. And the funny thing, too, is they talk about Egypt almost as if Egypt was such a wonderful place.
Yeah.
Oh, we had water in Egypt.
Yeah, it was like vacation in Hawaii. Yeah.
The children of Israel are, in a sense, saying, hey, God, what have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
And I would submit that while the people who worked the full extent of the day in the parable from Matthew 20 said and believed that God was holding out on them, that God was not being fair, that God was treating them unjustly, the children of Israel, this is no parable, this is real. Mm-hmm. The children of Israel are basically saying, what have you done for me lately? It's not fair. And God, you are holding out on us.
Yep.
You are not giving us what we deserve. Pastor, do you think that's a connection there?
It's exactly right. Now, certainly, if you're thirsty or if you have a need, pray to God. I think the problem here is the attitude they have taken, this haughty, what have you done for me lately type attitude. Certainly, if you have a need, dear friends who are listening to this show, if you have a need, pray to God. That's what he wants us to do.
Pray to our gracious gift-giver God.
Yes, acknowledge who he is and what kind of God he is. But this kind of grumbling and testing God has no place in the life of a believer.
So we go on with the account here, and God, who could have, in his anger, wiped them off of the face of the earth, God and Moses could have walked hand in hand down the road and could have sat and talked for eternity about how miserable these people were. But instead, God, not because they whined and complained, God, out of his grace, takes care of their need. And so the same staff that Moses lifted up when the Red Sea waters were parted, God commands him to take this staff and to go to a rock. strike the rock, and water shall come out of the rock. Now, this is no parable. This is no metaphor. This is no simile. This is no myth. This actually happened. Moses, staff, to the rock. So, did Moses have some secret knowledge about which rock had a thin skin on it, and if he touched it just right, the water would come popping out? How did this happen, Pastor?
It's a miracle. I mean, I don't know what else you can say about it. I mean, that people have tried to give naturalistic explanations, that it was a rock with a thin skin and there's a spring underneath it or something like that. It is a miracle. Water comes forth from a rock. And what more miraculous could it be than that? And we have an indication. Is it in our in our epistle lesson? And we don't have many details from the Bible about this, so it's hard to say much more than what St. Paul says. But St. Paul seems to almost hint that they brought this rock along with them, and they received their water from that rock the entire time. They were in the wilderness.
That is where I wanted to go with this next. Because in the New Testament, it appears that this rock, either they brought it with them or
it followed them somehow.
After this event, the rock followed them so that the water and God's presence were there. And what does God, through the Apostle Paul, tell us? Who this rock is?
The rock is Christ.
The rock is Jesus. The rock is Jesus. And Jesus, in rock form, Jesus was really present because the command and promise of God was with this rock. And out of this rock is going to come water, and without water there is no life. And so this rock, miraculously traveled with the people, and God kept them alive through the rock in the same way that he keeps us alive through our rock of ages, Jesus Christ. And water gushed forth from Jesus as well on Good Friday, when that spear was thrust into his side and blood and water came forth, not only showing physically that he was dead, that his heart had stopped beating, but also foreshadowing how he brings us life through the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. Now, the last thing that we want to say that kind of ties all of our readings in together is that question that the people had been asking, the very last verse, Exodus 17, verse 7, is the Lord among us or not? Pastor, why is that such a key question for all people everywhere for all time?
We started out talking about the temple as the presence of God and how Jesus is the new temple among his people, the very presence of God in the midst of his church, in the midst of his people. And so the question, the key question is the Lord among us or not? Is he with us? Has he abandoned us? Has he left us? And of course, the answer is, they're asking it in a rebellious and arrogant way. But certainly it's a question that we can cry out in the midst of our afflictions and misery, and the Lord says, yes, I am with you. And there's no mistake then that Jesus is called Emmanuel, God with us. There's no mistake then at the end of Matthew's gospel, he says, behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So is the Lord among us or not? The answer is yes, no matter what it may look like in this world of sin.
Whatever your situation in life is, whatever you're feeling, whatever pain, suffering, sorrow, hurt, loss, guilt, it does not matter. The Lord is with you, and the proof positive of that is Calvary, Good Friday, the empty tomb, Easter. This is the one that we proclaim, Jesus Christ, for you. Thank you for tuning in to Proclaiming the One. We'll be back again next week. God's richest blessing in Jesus, the Rock.